Let's turn just for a few minutes to the book of Proverbs. And I invite you to look at Proverbs chapter 1. And in the Pew Bibles, that's on page 635. 635, Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to skip around just a little bit. I want to read chapter 1, verse 20. And then I'll skip after a few verses to the end of chapter 2, verse 16. So beginning in chapter 1, verse 20. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, in turn I will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, then disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Now moving down to chapter 2, verse 16. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of the good, and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the faithful will be torn from it. We'll end the reading here. What a colorful image that is. Two women, both calling out to us for our attention, asking us to follow. On the one hand, you've got Lady Wisdom, this personification of wisdom calling out to us. She's out in the streets asking us to follow, asking us to listen, asking us to heed her warnings. Notice that wisdom, according to Solomon here, is not hidden away in a treasure chest at the bottom of the sea. Wisdom is not in the mind of some monk on the top of a Himalayan mountain that you have to ascend to find. Wisdom is out in the street, calling your name, asking you to listen, asking you to learn and to follow. Anyone who wants wisdom just needs to reach out and grab it, to follow Lady Wisdom where she leads. But there's a second lady, the seductive woman we hear about. The seductive woman represents folly and foolishness. And she's got a better sales pitch, doesn't she? She seems a bit more enticing. Solomon tells us that she has left the love of her youth. She has left the commitments she had to God, her covenant with God. And so what she offers is freedom, freedom from responsibility, excitement, a bit of fun, a bit of amusement. And unfortunately, most people follow that woman rather than Lady Wisdom. These two ladies kind of remind me of the young men that go around knocking on doors in my neighborhood. I don't know if they do in yours, telling me that I can save a lot of money on my electricity bill. I don't know if they come around your neighborhood, but they always come around my neighborhood telling me that I can save lots of money on my electricity bill. And unfortunately, that's all I know. I don't know any of the details of what they say, because when they come at the worst possible time. They knock on the door when there's food all over the kitchen and the kids are running away from their bath or trying to get in their pajamas and the baby is crying. And so I can't stop to think about saving money on my electricity bill. I just say, please come back tomorrow, come back another time. I don't have time for this right now. I've got other things to worry about. As we look back over this year, and we look back over the things that we've been doing, the experiences that we've had, the time that we've spent on our day-to-day, who do you think you've been listening to? Lady Wisdom or the seductive woman who promises so much? The way you've spent your time, the way you've invested your time, the way you've, the conversations you've had, the activities you've been involved in. What would Solomon say about your time? Would he say, there's a man, there's a woman who has listened to the call of wisdom? Or would Solomon accuse you of following the seductive woman, pursuing freedom and fun, excitement, independence, whatever you might think you really want? I think when I look back, I get a bit discouraged. I get a bit down on myself, because when I look back over a year like 2019 or 2018 or 2017, I can't help but think of all the time I've wasted, all the time where I spent my time frivolously on things that just don't have any eternal value, things that don't last, things that won't make any difference in terms of eternity, time spent watching TV or browsing social media or some other entertainment, some other distraction. Not that those things are bad in and of themselves. They have their place. But unfortunately, that place keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I can't help feel like if I were to stack up all that time and compare it to the time I've spent doing things that will actually make a difference, I can't help but feel ashamed. How much time have I spent actually living like a disciple, doing things that matter, things that in light of eternity will make a difference? Just thinking, for example, of the way Jesus describes discipleship in the Sermon on the Mount. How much time have I spent being salt and light and a city on a hill? How much time have I spent being a peacemaker, being merciful, hungering and thirsting for righteousness? How often have I reached out to my neighbor in need with a kind word, a word of encouragement, practical help? How often have I been selfish rather than selfless? And I can't help but be discouraged when I look back and think about the time I've wasted. There was a moment that I remember quite vividly of Fiona when she was, I think, maybe about 4 years old. And we were putting her to bed, and she was all ready for bed, but we gave her quiet time, which meant she can look at books or play in her bed for about 10 minutes, and then it's lights out. And she agreed and said, fine, that's great. And I came back after 10 minutes, and she hadn't done anything except change her pajamas. She just put on a different shirt, put on different bottom, you know, changed the pajamas. She changed it again. I don't like this. I'll change it again. I don't like this. I'll change it again. I'll get new socks on. I'll change those. And she spent the whole quiet time changing her pajamas. And when I came back to tell her it was time for lights out, she was absolutely devastated. And this is, you know, you can tell when your kids are trying to manipulate you. Well, this was not one of those times. I could actually genuinely see that she was so devastated. And she said words that I'll never forget. She said, I've wasted all my time. I've wasted all my time. And that has just stuck with me, because every time I think back over the year, I think, how much time have I wasted? I could have been doing something that makes a difference. Well, the good news is that Jesus does not ask us to stack up all the good things we've done and compare them to all the bad things we've done. And if the good things outweigh the bad things, then we get into heaven. That is not what Jesus teaches us. Is it? Praise God, it's not. Because all of us are doomed if that's what our eternity relies on. If our eternity depends on good things, positive things outweighing bad things, we are all hopelessly lost. There's not anyone in here who can say that they would make it into heaven based on that account. The good news of the gospel is that His grace is sufficient for me. I am what I am by his grace, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. And so what we can do is not look at the past and regret and wallow in self-pity, but thank God we have a new year, a new day, a new morning, a new chance, a new opportunity to heed the call of wisdom. Because Lady Wisdom is still calling. She's still out there. She's still beckoning. And if you're alive now and you have a pulse now and you're still awake now, you can heed the call of wisdom. And that is the beauty of the gospel, that there is always a chance. It's never too late. Jesus offers us grace that is sufficient for the Pharisee who has obeyed the law his entire life, or the thief on the cross who has wasted his life. Jesus provides grace that is sufficient for both. It's not too late. In Matthew 18, Jesus says these familiar words. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. We have a lot to be thankful for as we look back over the year. We have seen God's provision. We've seen his grace and mercy. We have seen so much to be thankful for. We've seen him use dark times for our good. But most of all, what we can do is thank God now for a new year, a new opportunity, a new chance to heed the call of wisdom. Because if you're hearing God's word tonight, it's not too late. It's not too late for the thief on the cross. It's not too late for the sheep wandering away. If you can hear it, you can redeem the time. You can look forward to what God has in store when we begin to listen to Lady Wisdom, so that we can, as Paul says in Colossians, walk worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God.